Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Welcome to Clash of the Titles, the podcast that pits two movies with something in common in a fight to the death to see which one comes out victorious. This week, in the red corner, a massive slice of slightly uncomfortable 80s weirdness. But we can't complain, as it says it on the tin. From 1985, we're experimenting with weird science. While in the blue corner, Oscar Isaac is definitely not a people person, as Donald Gleason discovers when he pays a visit and meets his boss's bunker bots in 2014's Ex Machina.
By the way, you did an excellent job. Thank you. Hello? Showering's real fun, isn't it? If we're going to have any kind of fun together, you guys had better loosen up.
Ava was a rat in a maze, and I gave her one way out. To escape, she'd have to use self-awareness, imagination, manipulation, sexuality, empathy, and she did. Now, if that isn't true AI, what the fuck is?
So my only function was to be someone she could use to escape?
Yeah.
And you didn't select me because I'm good at coding?
No. Well, no. I mean, you're okay. You're even pretty good, but...
You selected me based on my search engine inputs.
We're trying to design and build the perfect pod for today's fight to the death, so let battle commence. It's Clash of the Titles!
Release the Kraken!
Hello, Clash Butters! So, what would you little maniacs like to do first? I'm Alex Zane!
I'm Vicky Crompton.
That was creepy. I'm Chris Tilly.
Yeah, it was creepy. Creepy and sad, because one little maniac of this two is not going to be with us for a couple of weeks. This is your last show for 2 weeks.
Yes, I'll be away, but I'll be trying to collect good stuff for you to bring back.
Good content.
Yeah. Last time I came back with some Ryan Johnson. He might be there this time, not sure, not been announced yet, but I'll bring something back, I promise. And if it's not a quote, it will be some booze.
Mm. Oh, great.
Fine with either. Fine with either, and perhaps while
Better
you're out there,
both, yeah.
Shoot some long-form video, which we can put up on our brand new YouTube channel.
Of course.
Mm. You want to type Clash of the Titles into the search bar to find that, baby. Right, this is part one of Weird Science versus Ex Machina. V's choices this week, enlighten us as to why.
So, I'll just be honest. My friend Sarah, who listens to the show, she wanted us to do Weird Science and Mannequin, and she was asking me if we would do that, and I thought that was a good idea.
Mm.
Then we went to the pub, and there was some shouting about Mannequin. And I actually think, in your defence, it just is not that easy to find, or it wasn't that easy to find. So that was
Don't
replaced.
Look at me when you say that. I have no idea if it's easy to find. That's Chris's department.
Anyway, it got replaced. Mannequin got replaced with Ex Machina, which I was... And it doesn't make more sense, I guess. So I was fine with it. And now here we are. That's the most honest, straightforward answer I've got.
Great.
Yep.
You were fine with it.
That's
enthusiastic for the next two episodes.
No, because the thing is, obviously, I'll talk about this at length, but I can't. I need to look inside myself and understand what it is. But Alex Garland films, I get disproportionately furious with.
Don't you get excited beforehand and then disappointed
by? The kernel of my anger comes from the expectations being through the roof and those expectations not being met every single time.
Is that his fault or yours, though?
It's entirely his fault, because he writes and directs the movies.
Right.
Maybe he's just got someone brilliant that does the trailers, I don't know.
But it's your expectation. He might deliver what he considers the right Alex Garland movie. Yeah. It's just not right for you.
I think as well, it's because everything he does is like really my thing. Like, it should be perfect for me. And then also being obsessed with script, the stuff that undoes me in it are just such easy fixes, and that's what I get.
I think I know one of them. Yeah. But I tell you what would be a good time to talk about this in depth
in the other episode.
That's correct. Yes, because we're doing weird science today. So you gave us a clue on last week's show, didn't you?
Yes, I did.
It was?
The lads have got all dolled up.
Now, we only had one clue this week because, out of respect for the 10-day mourning period following the Queen's death, we decided not to post or promote the show, which means that no one got the right answer this week. It's a Clash Pod first. Your clue on its own was not good enough, I'm afraid.
Do you think if we'd added in my clue to the mix, people might have got it?
Yes. What was your clue? Because you were pleased with it, and I was pleased with it. But
you thought it was about a different film.
Did I?
My clue was, if you build it, they will come.
Oh, gross! Oh!
Bosh! Right there.
He's good, isn't it?
Yeah. I can't believe you did that! People, disgusting.
Oh, he's a gusher. He is a gusher.
I didn't do anything, if you're listening. Just gave her a firm thumbs up.
Which means that tragically no one wins the prize this week, which was a trip a week away at my underground robo sex dungeon. So Chris, you can come instead.
Yay!
You can come. Mine was bigger instead.
I'll bring the grappa.
Oh, please do. Right, connection section then. Let's do this. I'll start. So a quote from Weird Science actually applies to both films when Gary says, "I want to put the woman we've created in real life sexual situations and see how she reacts," which is the plot of Ex Machina.
They both use porn to design the appearance of the women.
I thought they used Albert Einstein. Oh, no, that's his brain. Sorry, I've got confused.
Well, there was a big debate about whether they should even give her a brain.
Yeah, that's true. She would just die. Don't matter.
How long is she alive for, though?
That's the thing. How long do you need? 4 or 5 minutes?
I wonder if we can actually make this show weirder than Weird Science.
That would be fun.
No.
Any more?
No, your girlfriend is a homemade robot. That's all I've got.
A homemade sex slave.
Yes.
Actually, not so much in Weird Science. Is it the end of the world? Are we done for, based on what these two...
Oh, well, no, Chris. And I refer you back to my earlier comment about Alex Garland fucking up the... not sticking the landing. Ava isn't the technological singularity. He's quite... Nathan is very clear about that. So nothing's going to happen, so it's fine.
Do you want to do Ex Machina now? Shall we just bowl straight into Ex Machina?
No,
because you love the chronology of the whole thing. So on Thursday, I'll be asking, would you have sex with a clever dishwasher in Ex Machina? Which means today, Chris is being a weirdo, scientifically speaking. With Weird Science, Chris, take us on a journey.
Two incels 3D print a woman who gets them drunk, pulls a gun on their parents, turns their brother into a turd, and very probably kills their grandparents. She doesn't, however, have sex with the lads, making this an inspiring tale of female empowerment, rather than what I first wrote for this synopsis, which was Aladdin with tits.
Aladdin with tits, yes. Okay, yes.
Pitch it. It's great. Strong.
Put it on the deck with, what's the other one? Blade Runner with spiders. That's still a great idea.
Yeah, that is a good idea. Though. I'm writing that right now.
What even is that? Nikki, when did you first see Weird Science?
So, I was very little. So, I wrote this and I was like, I shouldn't say that. But then I think you always talk about your old video shop in whatever that street.
Barker's on Street Lane.
Street Lane, that's
the one. And congratulations again to Leeds for having a road called Street Lane.
So, the video shop that I used to go to when I was little was in a part of Blackburn, which is ostensibly called Mill Hill. But because I'm from Blackburn, I call it Mill Hill. So, I would have had this... I was at primary school... I definitely wasn't at secondary school. So we just would have got it out of the video shop in Mill Hill. And I've only seen it once, and all I remember is, I obviously remember what the film is about, and I remember the creation scene, and then all I remember is where the reverse of the house putting itself back together. Mm. And that is all I remember.
Wow.
Because obviously, 9, 10-year-old me, the stress of getting told off for making a mess is quite high in your little child brain. So when the house gets put back together, the relief has stayed with me for 30 odd years, but no, nothing else.
So you're a big Mary Poppins fan?
Yeah, I was going to say.
I've never seen it.
You've never seen Mary Poppins?
No. I think that's why we talked about never doing it here, because I think it's one of those films Vicky's refusing to ever watch.
It's on my list with refusing, with The Sound of Music and Mary Poppins, and I think that's
In fact, I remember this conversation. The Sound of Music, I don't like.
Right.
Mary Poppins, I like. We're doing Mary Poppins.
With We Know What.
Yeah.
We could do the old one and the new one. That would be nice.
Nah, we know what we're going to do with.
Okay, fine. I'm not anti-Mary Poppins or anything.
Because bit weird, hill to die on.
The nicest lady in history. Anyway, that's my thrilling story.
Alex,
first watch. Never seen this.
Yeah.
And obviously, as often happens with movies like this from this era, I spent most of it going, God, if I'd watched this when I was 11 or 12.
What, you would have loved it?
I would have loved it. It's the Wishma fulfillment movie. Is this the most 80s movie we've ever done on the show?
It's up there.
It's certainly up there.
I didn't love it, and I did watch it around that age. I think I was a bit older because it was a 15, and I don't think I got it out. I think I was a bit scared of it, to be honest.
Mine was a 12.
Okay.
Or maybe it's changed.
12 didn't exist when I was 12.
Oh, no, it didn't. So it kind of does. So did my parents rent me a 15?
Maybe.
That's outrageous.
It is a 15 as well. I mean, it's not like a... It's a proper 15.
Is it? Because there's a gun in it.
And there is some nakedness.
Yes. Carry on, sorry.
So I probably watched it when I was about 13 or 14, I would say.
Right.
And I was very impressed with the main lady. Mm-hmm. I thought she was amazing.
Yeah.
But it didn't really do much to me, this film. Of the John Hughes films, I didn't watch a lot of them because I thought they were for girls.
Right.
I watched Ferris Bueller.
I respect your honesty.
Yeah, I've got to say, I didn't watch 16 Candles or Pretty in Pink or
The Breakfast Club.
Didn't watch that till I was about 17 or 18.
Okay.
And I was like, oh, this is good.
That's awesome.
Yeah. And so, yeah, this was not something I grew up with as a favourite, in the way that it does seem to be a cult film for a lot of kids of our generation.
So kids you knew at school, your friends weren't doing quotes from this, because that's the thing I really feel I missed out on. There was a guy I knew called Phil Stark who used to always say, the quote I just did to you as we were coming in, would you like a greasy pork sandwich in a dirty ashtray? And I used to go, ha 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 ha, because I wanted to be part of the gang, and everyone else was laughing because they'd seen Weird Science. But now I understand where it came from.
Okay.
It was a nice moment. Took me back.
So none of us grew up loving this film. That's where we're coming from.
It passed me by, but it meant when someone said, oh, it's like Weird Science, I got what they were talking about. But there's just but it's the central conceit I've always remembered, but everything else, no.
Yeah, not a rewatchable for
me. No.
Okay, let's do a little bit of background. Not a huge amount, but we're going to start in 1950.
Cool.
Because that's when Weird Science comic launched and lasted for 22 episodes. And they were anthology tales about aliens and monsters. And there was a story in it, Alex, called Seeds of Jupiter from Weird Science 8.
Okay.
Do you know what was in that?
No, I know the train song, Drops of Jupiter.
No.
Now she's got in her atmosphere, drops of Jupiter in her hair. Oh, yeah. No?
No.
Honestly, nothing.
Wow. An alien bursting out of a chest that a young Dan O'Bannon was a big fan of.
Ooh.
And so it helped inspire Alien, the Weird Science comics. But Joel Silver was also a fan, Uber producer Joel Silver, and he bought the rights to all of Weird Science comics. And as he told ComingSoon.net, the day all those big books of EC Comics arrived, they were sitting in my office, and there was a real hot girl that day sitting at lunch in the commissary at Universal, and John Hughes walked in. He was sitting in my office and saw them undoing the packaging on the books in those cases. He saw one that said Weird Science and said, what if two kids figure out a way to make that girl that was in the commissary and call it Weird Science?
Yeah, it's such a creepy story.
Awful.
Wow. Did you see that girl, Joel?
What if we made her? But she would do anything.
What do you think, Joel? What if we made her? What if she had no vocal cords? What if she couldn't speak? And she had to do what we wanted, Joel? What if we did that?
It's more like how Joel Silver sounds than John Hughes sounds, but that's fine.
Is this a movie, John? No.
I reckon
we can just do it now. Bring her in here. Tell her the movie. Tell her who I am.
Tell her who I am. I bet he said that a few times. So young.
So he was happily married, John Hughes.
Okay.
He's one of the good ones, apart from in this.
Yeah, I was going to say.
He's one of the good ones, but he was a little bit obsessed with Molly Ringwald.
Yeah.
Quite a strange story there. But anyway, back to this film. So, yeah, he had the idea and he liked the name. And as Joel Silver said, if I'd gone to EC Comics and said, I just want the title, they would have said no, but I'd already bought them. So that's how we ended up with the film being called Weird Science. And there's not a lot here in terms of background, because as ever with John Hughes, it all happened quite fast. He just got stuff made. In the space of 2 years, he wrote Pretty in Pink and European Vacation, and wrote and directed 16 Candles, The Breakfast Club, Weird Science and Ferris Bueller. Mm. That's in the space of 2 years. And we know from past episodes how quickly he works. So as Anthony Michael Hall tells it, while they were making Breakfast Club, he came in one day and said to him, I wrote 30 pages last night. And he famously wrote this over a weekend, basically. Sometimes I don't know if I believe those stories.
I wonder if he's at scene transitions, John. Not a thing. What's coming next? Anything. Could be anything. No foreshadowing whatsoever. Please chase. Why? Just cause.
Chaos.
It's mad.
It's mad.
But that's why I think I'd have liked it, because it is. It's just. Yeah. It just keeps throwing stuff on top of it. Another bloody biker mutants. What?
Does it make sense, John? Who cares? It's weird science. but it's kind of an anomaly in his career, being it's sort of the silliest film he made, it's the broadest film he made, it's the only real fantasy. But also he was obsessed with computers, they were entering the home, what are they, how do we put them on film? And it sort of, he combined trying to understand what computers were going to do for us with where he always was, which was plugged into the psyche of teenage boys, and specifically geeky boys who want cool girls. Mm-hmm. So casting was done by a woman called Jackie Birch, who went on to cast Commando, Red Heat, Coming to America, Die Hard, Roadhouse, Judge Dredd and End of Days.
Legend.
All of which we've done.
Done all of her work.
Yeah, apart from Judge Dredd. Should have recast that. Anthony Michael Hall was John Hughes' celluloid avatar by this point, so that was a done deal. Robin Wright was initially playing the woman in question.
Okay.
Lisa. They had her for 3 months, and then her agent signed her up to a soap opera before they started shooting, so she walked out on the project. And then it was between Kelly LeBrock and Sharon Stone.
Wow.
Ah, there we go.
What? There goes what? What?
She was my... When I was a kid...
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, it was all about Sharon Stone. Not even Basic Instinct. The first time I watched Total Recall, I fell in love with Sharon Stone.
I know you did.
Mm.
So yeah, you would prefer her more?
Yes,
okay.
Please.
Okay.
can you get her? Can you bring her?
Could she do aerobics in the thing again for no reason?
Oh, that aerobics outfit.
So they offered it to Kelly LeBrock.
He can't even look at you.
She turned it down because she was working on something in France with Sting. Then that shut down. She came back and they gave her the role. And as Birch puts it, Kelly was much warmer with the boys than Sharon Stone was when they did the screen test.
She would eat them alive. Sharon Stone would.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'd watch that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, yeah. Okay.
And the only other person they mentioned sort of in the behind the scenes was the fact that John Hughes offered Robert Downey Jr. the role in The Room when he met him.
Oh, really?
He liked him a lot.
Okay.
Don't know what happened to him. Right, should we talk about the film?
Yeah, yes. Let's do this.
Okay.
It's got its own song!
It's got its own song.
Weird Science.
We're not there yet, though, because we start with a scene in a gymnasium of our two young heroes.
I guess.
Perving over women. They are Gary, played by Anthony Michael Hall, and Wyatt, played by Ilan Mitchell-Smith. This scene was shot after they'd finished making the movie. So, finished principal photography. And so here Gary says, I want to shower with them. I want to hit the city with drinks with them. I want to throw a party with women everywhere. It enabled them to make it look like they'd planned the whole film
that. Oh, nice.
Bit of foreshadowing.
I didn't realise, yeah, because he shot the thing. I went, God, I haven't done any scene transitions whatsoever. Yeah. So I'll tack one on. Oh, I like that. It's very good.
makes you look more clever as a writer. And so they pick the girls that are going to fall in love with them. So they've got something for the film to vaguely work towards. I mean, it doesn't try that hard. But again, we're setting out, I guess, the theme of the film
here. Some sort of story.
Yeah.
It's a good scene, though, because that's proper. If I'd watched it as a kid, and even as an adult watching it, I'm like, that's nightmare fuel. Having your shorts pulled down in front of a room full of girls at that age.
I guess,
do you know it's got a name in America, what that is?
Mm.
It's called being pantsed.
Are you telling a lie?
No, they got pantsed.
Okay.
Yeah.
Why did you think he was telling a lie?
I don't know. It just sounds so obvious and therefore so silly.
No, fact.
I thought you'd picked up on some micro-expression.
She can read micro-expressions, but she can't see her dad putting a camera on a wall. Alex Garland.
Thursday.
Shame of Thursday.
Can you believe it?
And the pants.
I hated that bit.
It's so annoying.
If you look in the background there, Caleb, look in the background. What am I doing? Huh? I distracted you by ripping up a picture, but there, look, camera, battery powered.
I'm a robot. So, I see everything, not that.
It doesn't get affected by the power outages.
I should have done it fucking ages ago.
But the power outage is that despite being incredibly clever, I have no idea that Ava is doing them.
We think.
Alex, it's your credits. The song is Weird Science by Oingo Boingo.
Oingo Boingo.
Is that a band you liked?
It's not.
I only knew them from movies. Their songs popped up in movies.
Yeah.
But this is the one that changed everything. So obviously the lead...
it's the song that turned Oingo Boingo into the Oingo Boingo we know today. Before Weird Science, they were just Oingo Boingo. And now, it's Wembley Stadium.
Well, you know who the lead singer is, don't you?
I do not.
Okay, well, there is a point here.
Is it Bono?
no, it's Danny Elfman.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
Oh,
and this
cool.
And so as the lead singer and songwriter of Oingo Boingo, this, I think, might have been the first song he wrote for a film. And this is what changed his career. He decided, this is what I want to do.
No more singing.
Well, he sings on Nightmare Before Christmas.
Mm. Oh, of course.
Yeah.
And it's him singing the Batman soundtrack as well. He doesn't use instruments.
He famously doesn't use
Danny,
instruments.
The human instrument Elfman is what he's known as.
Not strings, Danny. No, not strings.
So, a couple of deleted scenes. There's one here. Pretty much the opening scene after credits should be them, and I've watched this, it's on the Blu-ray, the Arrow Blu-ray, them watching a black and white version of Frankenstein that then becomes colour. They talk about Dawn of the Dead and I Spit on the Grave, and Gary says if he was Frankenstein, he'd make a girl. It just gives the whole thing more context, because it does happen quite fast without much explanation.
This is the thing, that's the kind of film it is, but I do admire it, and I'm also annoyed by it, but I find it quite charming that they're just watching it, they're like, fuck it, let's make a girl with a sex robot. And not even now, like, I love Superbad, I love Booksmart, I love Ladybird, I love that Superbad but with kids, whatever that was called, all of that.
Mm.
So I get it, and I'm really into it. But nowadays, if you do it, you'd be like, well, Gary, you're a science major, or whatever they call it in America. Just some thread that pulls the scenes together, or one of you is a computer genius. That's why I love this as well. It's like, he's not a genius, he just has a computer. That's the best bit.
Mm. Would you prefer it if Doc Brown showed up with his blackboard, or is it better without? I think it's better without.
I do think it's better without. Yeah. I never used to think that until you started highlighting the chalkboard. And again, we'll get to this in Ex Machina. There's no need for wetware, which I think is what he said. I was being a bit sick. But anyway.
What's wetware?
I think he says our brain is wetware.
Okay.
But I might have misheard.
Right.
But I was like, why are you explaining this nonsense? Just leave it a mystery.
So unlike a lot of John Hughes films, it's shot sort of like a universal horror film. A lot of the angles, a lot of the style, it's a bit of a contrast to other things he's done, because now we've got the designing girl montage. Massive boobs, make them smaller. Then, as Alex said, do we need a brain? Question remains. They give her a brain. It's kind of ahead of its time, though, because they put in the specifications they want, which is what you kind of now do on a dating site. Or you did. You say what height you want. You say what age you want.
I don't think you're allowed to pick the boob size.
You can pick body set shape, or at least you could last time I was on one of them.
Can you really?
Yeah.
Oh, that upsets me.
Athletic.
Okay.
Not athletic.
This is Total Recall again.
Yeah. What's the euphemism on the dating sites for big tits?
Because it's been a while since I've been on there, if I'm honest.
Maybe nowadays it just doesn't. Maybe everything's just young people are just off the hook, aren't they? Like, it just says, I like big tits. What have you got?
I like. It'll be pillows, because you could be
pillows.
Talking. Yeah, I like firm pillows, or I like,
I like big butts, and I can't deny.
There we go.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'll get you out of that.
Thanks for getting this out of that.
Thank you.
So bad.
Yeah, I didn't know where it was going.
They steal some kind of power from a military computer.
It's so awesome because they don't know anything about computers, and he's like, "We need more power." But how would you know that? But I don't care. I think it's brilliant.
They feed an image of a model who looks like Kelly LeBrock into the computer, and then we've got a combination of Einstein, Mozart, Houdini, and David Lee Roth. None of this pays off.
No.
She needs to escape from somewhere if we're sticking Houdini in there, because otherwise that's such an outlier. Let's have her play some lovely music. Like, it's
just... Houdini's the outlier. David Lee Roth and Einstein.
Well, there is some David Lee Roth later in the film. I think we hear his cover of A Pretty Woman, he sings later.
Oh, yeah.
But, yeah, why not Joan Jett? You know?
I don't know.
Sexy woman. That's what this is about. You don't want to wake up next to David
Lee Roth. It's kind of cool that they hack a military-grade computer, though. You don't see hacking that much at this time, and I think it's good to see a little bit of early hacking, and it's done quite well.
Yeah. But also, because all the computer design seems designed to keep out hackers, because they say access denied, but at that point in time, there was only like 4 hackers. So they've got this whole thing, and then, I know this is my particular fondness, but like showing progress into the computer as a tunnel, love that. But also, when you're watching the graphics, you're like, is it working or is it not working? Because it's not really obvious, is it? It's like, there's a ticking clock, could be a bomb, could be progress, could be well done, no idea. I think it's like Lawnmower Man levels of brilliant visuals. I honestly do.
Yeah, on less of the budget, really, as well, and a few years before. They put bras on their heads, which is one of the most famous things from this film. I don't really know why. It's just a bit creepy because he's had to go into his mum's underwear drawer.
I'm not going to rag on this film being like, and then they just said this about women, because it's like, that's what the film is. But there are some things adjacent to that I'd really forgotten about and I'm not mad about. And bras on heads is just like, oh, bras are funny, and that's why we've made teenagers. I don't like that because they're not funny.
But I'm still hung up on the fact it's your mum's bra.
And she's got 4 the same as well. Like, so unimaginative.
I don't mind that.
Okay. They perform this ceremony over a doll. I'd forgotten they've got... Why have they got, a Barbie doll?
There's a little girl's room as well, though. Has he got a sister that doesn't...
Maybe they wrote a sister out of the film.
Yeah, because he's hiding in a room later that looks... Well, sorry, a lot of gender assumptions there. It's got a lot of...
It was the 80s, though, so it would have been. So
yeah.
Yeah, it makes no sense. Anyway, the sky turned red.
Good.
Lightning strikes.
Yep.
They press enter. There's chaos all over town. A dog even ends up on a ceiling.
This is a great montage. Did this not remind you of Ghostbusters?
Yeah, it did, yeah.
I loved it. I thought it was really well done.
Because of the lightning, the crackly lightning thing, yeah.
And then the doll turns into Lisa. No logic, no explanation. She's been 3D printed.
Yes, she has.
And they take a shower with her.
Yep.
She tells them to loosen up.
Yeah.
Because they're in the shower with their jeans and shoes on. Alex, do you wear shoes in the shower so you don't have to see your feet?
That's a very good question. I don't, because I don't need to look down in the shower. So I just, they're out, but...
What about to wash your legs?
You can look. Obviously, you can't see me right now, but I'm proving that I can look up at the ceiling of the podcast room and wash my legs.
And
what about your balls?
Well, yeah, I know where they are. I know this body intimately.
Let's see you do them.
Let the record show you ask for that.
Didn't think you'd actually do them.
I don't need to see my feet. But in terms of this, when I was a kid, I was obsessed with looking cool. Like, I think I've told you before, I went on holiday to Crete and I wore my trainers and jeans and a coat and a baseball hat on the beach, and I refused to sit in a swimming costume because I thought it was uncool. So watching them in the shower, I would do that. I'd be like, yeah, I'm going to be in my trainers and jeans because I think I look cooler than in my pants or naked.
I was a bit upset by it because I'd forgotten about it. And the joke is, oh, they've actually got their clothes on. But for the first, or whatever, 2/3 of the scene, you think they're naked. And then it's like, why? Is that legal? As in, for the labour laws? I mean, for shooting the film at the time, I was like, you've got 2 young people, but because I don't know how old they really are, probably in just like a pants with an older woman. Is that all right?
Yes. It's the 80s.
Yeah, so that's fine, isn't
it? Yeah, of course.
If you've been to a beach, it's legal on a beach.
I know, but there are laws, Chris.
It's a movie. It's Hollywood as well in the 80s.
Yeah,
anything
I know.
Goes.
Just the things that I don't... Is her insistence on kissing one of them later makes no sense to me. The film still works without her getting off with a child.
Yeah, I wrote uncomfortable down.
It's really bad.
He's 6... I mean, in real life, he'd have been... I think he was 16/17 years old, and she was 27.
Yeah, it's horrible for everyone.
Which is, that's the real thing. In the film, he's playing 15.
Yeah, yeah.
It's not horrible for everyone. Well, I saw a recent panel with the three actors, and they were saying that this shower scene, that the two lads couldn't stop giggling, and so it took days to shoot, which they were pleased with. So, Lisa, I read somewhere named after the Apple Lisa.
Oh, okay.
That's amazing. Could be. We've talked about the Apple Lisa, haven't we, on a podcast Alex wasn't on?
The Steve Jobs one, yeah. That makes sense.
Yeah, the Apple Lisa.
And the idea, I guess, is that they would control her, but very quickly she's controlling them. She's immediately, literally in the driver's seat.
So this is, again, so she's like magic, because she can do anything, can't she?
This is why I said...
Why are you getting into this? We just have to accept.
She's a genie. She's a genie.
All right, fine.
She's a genie. All right. Because she can create a pink Cadillac out of nothing.
Okay, fine.
She can freeze people in time. She can turn people into frog monsters.
Yeah.
She can do whatever.
It's a boggling, I think.
And she can supply you with a fake ID, which we're going to talk about after this break.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weight loss. That's PlushCare.com/weight loss. PlushCare.com/weight loss.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
And we're back. And we're not going to talk about the fake ID. We're going to talk about the blues bra bar that they go to.
Bra, so, see? It's easy. They're funny. It's just a funny word.
Bras are funny. Yeah.
This is very, very, very bad.
Yes.
Right. So again, forgotten all about it. It's just so racist. Let's just say it. It's really racist.
So Gary walks in. It's largely African-American bar. Gary walks in and starts doing a voice.
Yeah, it's terrible. And also, I was feeling very nervous about it because I realised it's a repeated beat almost from Adventures in Babysitting. And that starts to look like someone's got a problem. The Adventures in Babysitting beat is they walk into a club that's predominantly African-American punters and they feel out of place because they're the white people. Okay, so we repeat the beat then. It's like, oh, that's a bit icky. But the voice, and then it goes on and on and on and on, and it never stops.
Just when you sort of go, oh, thank God, that's over. Yeah. They're back at the house. He's still doing it. He loves that voice.
So I did some digging into the voice. And he was such close friends with John Hughes. He'd be round his house all the time and Hughes would be showing him Charlie Chaplin videos. And he was a big Richard Pryor fan. He'd shown Richard Pryor videos, and this was Anthony Michael Hall doing an impression of a Richard Pryor character.
Right.
And John Hughes thought it was so funny, he would get him to do the voice all the time, and he wrote it into his movie and made him do it for about 20 minutes.
Yeah.
And I found an interview with the editor of this film, Chris Lebenson, who says the studio questioned having minors drinking in a bar and speaking in jive. He said, we wouldn't get away with it now, but the preview audiences loved it, so it stayed in.
Mm-hmm.
Give the audience what they want. We meet Chet.
Yay!
Played by our old friend Bill Paxton.
A year away from Hudson. This is a year before Aliens.
It's like a prequel. Do you not think this kid could become Hudson?
Yeah.
It's an Aliens prequel.
Yeah.
Bill Paxton, maybe our second favourite actor on this podcast.
We love him.
You do.
Yeah,
I was very pleased to see him.
And he is not underplaying the role of older brother bully Chet. He's blowing cigars in their faces. He offers them, what does he offer them?
A greasy pork sandwich and a dirty ashtray.
And he laughs in the weirdest way imaginable. As Vicky said, Lisa kisses Wyatt. We cut to the next morning.
You made me. You control me.
Wyatt's wearing her pants.
Yep.
Yeah.
Her knickers. And so, I don't know. The implication for me there was that they'd shagged.
But she says that he couldn't.
Of course he couldn't. And then, it's so weird. She's like, well, we'll try again later. It's the, what the fuck is going on?
No, she does. She says that he passed out 10 seconds into her gymnastics routine.
I started to feel sorry for him. Like, it's not normal. Like, I said I wouldn't. And it's just so odd that she, I don't know, this insistence that she's, I think it's really sweet that Gary and Wyatt can't do anything with her because it's too terrifying, because of course it is. But it is weird to have an older woman be like, well, I can't believe you passed out because I was doing gymnastics.
I feel let down. I think they should have had sex.
No, you don't want to see that.
I don't have to see it. It was just the knowledge that, yeah, it worked out.
Then the film would have to end. Eventually that's the end of
no,
the film.
No, they can still learn a lesson. So they do what all 80s kids do and head to the mall to buy perfume.
But again, no scene transition. No, like, we're shopping. Why are we shopping? I just, fuck it, we'll go shopping. Like, it's so
just
random.
Just throwing things at us.
I love it.
Lisa buys some tiny see-through knickers and asks an old lady for a barbed wire bra. Robert,
I warmed up to this movie. It started and
yeah,
I was like,
too.
I'm not enjoying this. And then it got uncomfortable. And then around this point, I started going, actually, no, I can deal with it.
Yeah.
I've got a handle on the fact this movie doesn't have a handle on itself.
Yeah. And sure. It's to her as well. Because when she first starts talking and it is a bit jarring, like, you just like, I don't get it, like, kind of thing. But then when she makes a joke about the bras and she's like, have you got a leather one, a rubber one? It's like, that's funny. And she does it really well. And I really, really warmed to her, that I wanted to spend time with her rather than just being this anomaly.
Yeah. Mm. She's sort of effortlessly cool in a really
weird
way.
Yeah, in a weird way.
Robert Bully Jr. pours drinks on them and the shopping mall erupts in laughter.
Mm.
And then him and his bully mate, they flirt with Lisa and they're willing to leave their beautiful girlfriends for Lisa. They make that clear. Because the message is, you're worthless if you aren't as good looking as her, I think, at some points in this film.
I would say so, yes.
Yes, everyone's judged against her, even though these are lovely women.
And they judge themselves against her.
Yeah, they do.
That's the John Hughes thing, though. That you can be annoyed about that. But all, I mean, there's loads of truth in it. That if someone is intimidatingly gorgeous, it's very normal to be like, to make you feel weird. Because if we live in a society in which we are judged for the way we look, someone comes along and just is better because they look better.
Mm.
And it does make you feel uncomfortable. You shouldn't admit to such base things, but it is true.
Lisa meets Gary's parents.
This is so good.
While smoking and having
weird.
A drink. She describes the high school orgy that they're having. She talks about tossing off.
Mm. Chips, dips, chains, whips.
Great.
She's great.
She's great. She has a massive go at them. She pulls a gun on Dad and then she wipes his memory. What is her endgame here?
Yeah. But like, if you were going to be mad about it, like, you're magic, you can wipe memories. You don't need to pull a gun, but we need the gun for later. So at least they set it up. Though actually I'm bitching about there's no setup. But there's the gun, and it pays off.
That is some setup, yeah. But the parents are in the right here.
Yeah.
They're slightly concerned that their son is going out with this woman.
And he's 15, bear in mind.
Yeah. So, we got a party. The world turns up to the party, and they immediately trash the place. Slightly problematic, we have the African-American gentleman from the earlier bar now working behind the bar here, getting employed. Why can't he just be hanging out and having a drink?
No, you've got to work. John Hughes has got a problem.
But Robert Bully Jr. and his mate order a scotch from him and he offers to stick it up their ass.
Yeah.
I quite like that. There's an additional scene here that got cut where Gary and Wyatt have a bunch of geeky friends who, they don't know any of these people at the party. They have a bunch of geeky friends who they hang out with. They show up to the party and everyone at the party tells them to go away, but Lisa insists they come in. It's sort of like a save the cat moment for her, where she's just really nice to more losers. But it doesn't really add much to it. So the girls that they like show up and they're impressed with the party, and then it gets weird in the bathroom. And then the boys go into the shower and then they come out and then they're less attractive girls.
They've been swapped. Mm. And so again, the joke is, as if, look at those women.
Gross. It's a Dragnet spoof, isn't it?
Well, he talks like Joe Friday when he's in the shower.
Yeah.
But the girl swap is just a joke you wouldn't do now.
You would do.
It's just unnecessarily cruel. The bullies offer to exchange Deb and Hilly for a crack at Lisa.
Great.
They want a new one made with bigger tits. And then the computer goes haywire and it all kicks off again. A dude ends up on the telly. People end up on the ceiling. Furniture flies up a chimney.
It's great.
A pianist's clothes fly off and she zooms up the chimney as well.
I don't like that.
The kitchen turns blue, and predating Harry Potter by 20 years, the photos come to life.
Oh, yeah!
Wait, can you play the piano? Because we've got a role in this film. And that's all I need to do.
She must have been like, the look on her face, she's like, why am I missing for so long?
Are you athletic?
Or non-athletic?
What do you mean? I'm playing the piano. Well, yeah. There's a few other bits and pieces, but as long as you... Just really, I mean, it's a bit, the majority of the scene. Just stop asking fucking questions. Take clothes off.
How do they do it? Like, when she's clinging onto the window frame and the clothes just go, whoop, like, how do you do that? Do you pull them with a string?
Yeah. Wire. Oh, okay. It'd be invisible wire, yeah.
Fine. I didn't know that.
Have you never done that with anyone?
Have I never? No. Thank you.
Watching those behind-the-scenes videos, way too much of films are made using that almost invisible wire. It's just so simple. So the grandparents show up and they... Oh, no, a missile bursts through the bedroom. Brilliant. Sorry, I'm getting out of order.
The order is important.
A missile bursts through the bedroom.
It's the 80s, nuclear weapons.
Yeah. Yep. Yep. Grandparents show up, won't stand for Lisa's baloney, so she freezes them. I don't... think the grandparents should be here. This would be one of my changes. I just don't think they bring anything to it. You've introduced Chet, you've established him, and then you get rid of him.
Yeah.
He should be involved here. He should be frozen.
Where does he actually go?
He goes hunting.
Okay.
But he should be, I just feel like he should be part of the film because we don't need these grandparents because they really bring nothing to the equation.
They're quite good though.
Mm.
She's very good, grandma. Yeah.
Okay. I've written down stuff's just happening now. This feels quite random.
The stakes have been raised.
It's chaos, which leads to Mutant Biker Gang.
Could not believe this.
This is why I wanted you to watch this because I knew you'd get excited by this.
Vernon Wells.
Yeah, Vernon Wells from Mad Max playing a character called Lord General.
Yep.
And his second in command is Michael Berryman from The Hills Have Eyes.
Yep.
Just if you love 80s cult movies, it's just an amazing moment to have them pop up here. They don't like the lads. They know they're unpopular dicks. They shouldn't be having a party. I feel like Vernon Wells is wearing a get-up quite similar to that knitted chainmail top we clocked in Commando. Our guys declare war on them. We get our second use of a horrible homophobic epitaph, which hasn't aged well, much like a lot of these films in the 80s that used that. And then the gun comes back.
Yay!
Hooray!
Doesn't Anthony Michael Hall's character, doesn't he say to the woman as well, why don't you shut up, bitch?
He does.
He uses the B word, yeah.
So I'm not mad about, because it's meant to be... I don't know. At least she gets a line, so it's not. She's just not redundant and just to be called a bitch. But
no, we get the B word and the F word here. It's grim, but
it's just. It's even. It doesn't work for his character at that point because he's a geek, and if you're a geek, you don't do that.
No,
you're sort of like. They're
sticking up for themselves and acting tough now.
Right.
Maybe it works if he's getting it wrong, but I don't think that's what they're saying. So, they clear the room with the gun, and the biker gang suddenly turn very polite when they depart. I do remember Michael Berryman saying he doesn't want to lose his teaching job.
It's really funny.
That's good.
As you say, they've got to learn lessons. Lisa's supposed to be teaching them lessons, and this one's all about sticking up for themselves. We get some more...
Is she? I didn't realise.
Yes.
Is she teaching them lessons?
Because she does tell us as well.
Right.
She does. She tells them.
Okay.
We get a bit more Chet here. He's home from his hunting. He pokes a gun in Deb's face.
He hits her with it, doesn't he?
Yeah.
No, he smudges her nose with it. Anyway, it's not good.
No, he bashes her with the butt of the gun.
Yeah, she goes, ow, yeah. Not good.
calls Hilly a bimbo, tells everyone he's not a moron, gives White a wedgie, asks to butter Lisa's muffin.
That's so upsetting when he says
But she calls him a wanker.
That's so brilliant.
It's good to hear that in an American film.
It really is.
I wonder if she brought that with her.
Yeah.
Said, this is what we say back home. Now I've got a section I called Love, because we've got the car chase with the police.
Smoking the Bandit homage.
Yep.
Is it?
Yeah, definitely.
Probably.
Definitely. The way she's acting like Sally Field and he's driving and being cool, and the whole thing feels very Smoking the Bandit.
And so Hilly and Wyatt and Gary and Deb have these moments. Hilly and Wyatt, she says she'll be grounded, but he'll wait for her.
Yeah,
and
says,
they kiss and he crosses his fingers.
What does that mean? Does anyone know what that means? Why does he cross his fingers? He says, I'll wait for you, with his fingers crossed.
I hate it. I don't know what it means.
I don't know what it means.
Behind her back.
Yeah. So he's got a better offer.
So he's saying he's not going to wait for
exactly
her.
That's what he
or,
means.
Is he going to wait till Lisa's gone? And
I don't know, but it undermines that moment.
100%. What is that doing there? Gary has a heart-to-heart with Deb and they kiss. Gary tells Deb the truth, that they aren't his clothes, his car, his friends. Again, it's sort of, I suppose, a message of the movie that, you know, you've got honesty is the best policy rather than pretending you're something you're not. But then he tells her he loves her, and he's just spoken to her for the first time.
Oh, run and, away.
And
but John, the movie needs this. The movie needs its warm, beautiful hearts and John, on a sleeve moment.
John Hughes works so hard to make these moments work, especially between the geeky character and the cool character. And as I said, he did 4-6 films in 2 years. Maybe he just ran out of time. You know, I've done it so many times. People get it. It just doesn't earn any of this. But we're back to the house, and Chet has turned into a turd monster.
Yeah.
Craig Reardon created this.
It's brilliant.
He called it, I mean, it was a Chet blob to him, but the audiences called it turd monster. So he said it was compared to Jabba the Hutt in the script and early drawings. It looked a bit like that, but he gave it an amphibian reptilian form, but that wasn't funny. So they tore it down, rebuilt it to make it funnier. And then to finish it off, which I hadn't clocked before, they give it Chet's haircut.
Yeah, that's
so
best
you know.
Bit.
Yeah. It's really funny. So do you like the turd monster? That seems to be one of the most famous things from this film.
Maybe it's in my bits. I don't want to spoil it, but yeah. I do like the turd monster. I like the fact that I put frog thing because he eats a fly.
He does eat a fly. Yep, yep.
But yeah, I thought it was great.
Okay.
This was the bit where the movie just was like anything goes now.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter anymore.
Well, we're at the end.
Yeah.
So they've got to say goodbye to Lisa, and she's happy for them. She's happy that they found their true loves. They have this tearful farewell that, again, doesn't feel earned.
I think it's some bad direction. I think do the scene many ways and maybe have a version where everyone's crying and then get rid of that because it feels really weird.
Yeah.
I just don't like it.
The parents return. They got away with it. Everything goes back to normal. And then we've got a scene in the school gymnasium. We get the Rocky music, and Lisa is their new PE teacher. So initially, in the original cut, she just disappeared. She said goodbye to them, and that was the end of the film. And so they hired this gymnasium to shoot the ending and that scene at the beginning, because audiences said it was just a bit too melancholy that she just left.
Mm.
And so they brought her back, shot that in post-production, added that joke to the beginning, and then Bob's your uncle.
Fine.
That's the end of the film.
That's great.
We made it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Should we do the bits then? Vicky, favourite scene?
It's part of the making the doll real scene, but it's actually just the computer graphics.
Okay.
Just a sucker for that sort of thing. I like it.
I like that scene as well. So that's my scene.
Is that for both of your scenes?
Yeah. It's slim pickings.
I mean, it really is. Mine's furniture shooting out of the chimney.
It was that. Yeah, or that.
I love that moment.
Yeah.
I think it's great. That or the red sky. One of the two.
Yep. Yep. All right. Most valuable ever, Alex.
The late, great Bill Paxton. Love him. Think he's fantastic.
Yeah. Slim pickings this week, but I'm going for Bill Paxton. Vicky.
Keller the Brock.
Okay.
Just because, you know, I always love Bill Paxton, so it would be easy. But when I first started watching it, I couldn't bear her. And then by the end, I thought she was incredible. Mm. So I went on a journey.
Very good. And if you could change anything, what would you change, Vicky?
Well, I can't believe that they were like, we haven't got an ending, so let's make her the PE teacher. It's like, the ending is so obviously the button on their story. They go back to school and everybody loves them. Like, it's their story, no? So Gary and Wyatt go to school and their heroism at the party with Vernon Wells has been recognised in some way. And now school's going to be easy. That's a John Hughes ending where they are themselves, but they're really popular.
I wonder about this with John Hughes films, though. I do wonder when people, when they go back to school on Monday of Breakfast Club and they go back to school Monday here, that I think everything goes back to how it was before.
Oh, that's interesting. That's
I've always
better.
Felt that with his films, which is sort of a grim ending. Alex?
Nothing. Not a goddamn thing. I would change nothing about this film.
I wouldn't change a word.
Not a word, not a scene, not a look, not a glance, not a prop, not a twist, nothing.
Come on, Alex.
Twist. Optimistic. Here's my thinking. You either change everything about this movie or you change nothing and just let it live on as a bewildering time capsule of what you could get away with making in the 80s. And so for that reason, the list would be endless about what you'd change to make this a functioning movie, or you just let it be weird science. Yeah. So I'm not,
it's not even the content, it's the actual art of movie making has changed so much.
I couldn't begin to list all the things that need changing about this movie.
You didn't have time to do this section.
Not literally, not a goddamn thing. I've literally written.
He's written not a goddamn thing. Literally nothing. You know, there was a TV series of this where they tried to fix some things. Vanessa Angel from Kingpin played.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah, I can see that. Yep, that works.
Yep. I feel like, I mean, the boys refer to her as a possession and that they own her.
Yes.
I feel like they need to learn, one of the lessons they need to learn is that women aren't possession and that they've got to set Lisa free, which I don't think really comes up
or
at all.
Or she takes her freedom. You're so close.
Oh, I love it when he gets it just a little bit wrong.
It's about the boys, though.
Yeah, I know.
Did he say she earned her freedom?
No, they learn. Not she earns, they learn.
Okay.
Fucking hell. Should we do a quiz?
Yeah, go on.
Okay. Last quiz for a couple of weeks.
Oh, great.
Woo! And I've written the quiz for when I get back. It might be the most boring quiz I've ever written. I'm so proud. So this week's quiz, it's a crash of the titles this week. We're doing one of those.
Okay.
All right, there we go.
Okay, kicking off with...
They are in the right order, aren't they?
Remind us how it works, Chris.
I'll describe two films whose titles are melded.
Right.
A 17-year-old man dog makes a fortune in stocks and shares.
Brewster's Millions.
Two
hang
films.
On. Just hang on a minute.
The Wolf of Wall Street.
You need a film with the beginning.
The war.
Oh, a 17-year-old man dog.
American Werewolf.
Teen Wolf of Wall Street.
Correct.
Shit.
I remember how this goes now.
Yeah.
Someone who has a similar job to that bloke does battle with a bison.
Oh, God.
So someone who works in stocks and shares does battle with a bison, or you could just say bison.
Oh, okay. Wall Street Fighter!
Correct.
Oh, that's so good.
A psychopath is released from prison and goes on a binge of drink and mind-altering drugs.
Cape Fear and Loathing Las Vegas!
Correct.
God.
Giant fighting robots get their nails done while gossiping at the local beauty salon.
I just can't.
I mean, you'd watch that film though, wouldn't you?
Yeah, I would. I just can't do this.
It's a Hugh Jackman movie and a Dolly Parton, Julia Roberts movie.
Yeah.
Real Steel Magnolias.
Correct.
I was trying to make Transformers work. Got you. Okay, good.
I was trying to make Pacific Rim. I just can't.
A group of hard-boiled black and white comic book characters head to a ranch on vacation.
Sin City Slickers.
Correct. All right, this could be a clean sweep, Alex. Are you ready?
Yep.
A sea creature is happy that the land has disappeared under the oceans.
Sea creature.
Want a bit more. An amphibious creature who has sex with a human woman is happy that
the
land...
The Shape of Waterworld!
Correct.
There's nothing I can do about it.
Nailed it.
All right.
He's back.
That's the last Crash of the Titles for a while. He took that well, didn't he?
Yeah.
I broke a sweat.
I don't know why you worry.
I do worry, though.
Why?
Because I've lost the last 2 weeks.
Yeah, but they're different. I've got no chance.
What? That's good.
You dick.
All right. That is Weird Science, though. Let's look ahead to next week's choices. We've got a great pairing for me and you, V. This is the clue. Mercenaries with morals. That's your clue for next week's pairing. Mercenaries with morals. Okay, you'll have another clue coming your way on Twitter at ClashPod. We're also on Instagram at ClashPod and TikTok at ClashPod. Do check in with us and don't forget to subscribe on Apple, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts. If you have subscribed, great. If you haven't, then do it now and also tell your friends about us. That's great. We'll be back on Thursday talking Ex Machina. Bye-bye.
Clash of the Titles is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I actually got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would say something like that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Anna Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.